Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Bishop Will T. Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life, power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teachings opportunity, please visit www.cccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15, must study, showing thyself approved unto Jehovah, a workman, needing not to be ashamed, but rightly divine word of truth. Shalom.
Amen. On behalf of Pastor Tom, if you are new here, you probably don't know that I am not the pastor. I am representing the pastor today. The pastor is Pastor Tom Washington, who happened to be my son. Amen. So, for all new visitors, you might have heard a strange name, Yeshua. I returned from Israel my second time in 2002, I believe it was. And by that time, I was convinced that our Savior's name was not Jesus, because there is no J in the Hebrew language. And I was convinced that his name was Yeshua. And in Israel, I decided that I would take all of my pastors. As you all know, we have 7 churches here in this country and 14 churches in Liberia, West Africa. So I took all of my pastors on this trip to Israel, because I was going to announce to them that I had made up my mind that I was going to use the correct name of our Savior and give them an opportunity to back away from me if they desired to do so. And so I took them that Sabbath night to a mezzanine at the top of the stairs, and I told them what I was about to do. And I said, I'm not forcing any of you to be with me. You make up your own mind. But I explained to them why I was doing this. And to a man, in fact, Bishop Mitchell said to me, we've never known you to do anything rash. And so therefore, we will follow you. But we will do as you said. We will research it for ourselves. And they did. And now we are probably the only organization with 20-some churches that use exclusively the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. So, and sometimes we need to explain that people might know. We don't have a different Savior. We just know his name now. Amen. Some people call me Will, and some people call me Bill, and some people call me William, but my name is Will. I want to give you some morbid information. And you know, morbid information is gory information about mayhem and violence. killings and murders have become the norm of the world today. Daily around the world, people are being killed and murdered every day. Hundreds of thousands have been killed to this point in Iraq, Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, Yemen, Lebanon, Beirut, and many places in Africa. And hundreds of thousands millions really have been displaced and are dying every day. Even in this country, 33,000 people die every year from gun violence. Nearly 20,000 from suicide, and the rest of it from gangs, police. Anytime you kill a person without a gun, you're a murderer. Whether you're a police or whether you are a gang member. And sometimes it's very difficult to tell the difference between the gang members and the police. Now, I'm not saying get mad at me if you don't accept the brainwashing. I haven't yet. Wealth has been redistributed from the lowest economic group to the 1-3% of the top. They have devised ways to make sure that you pass no wealth on to your children. If you own a home, they tell you to get a reverse mortgage. And therefore, when you die, you have nothing to pass on to your children. If you have an annuity, they say they will buy your annuity for a reduced price. If you have an insurance policy on your death, they will buy the policy. And so they make sure that no wealth is passed on. All the wealth goes to the top. Now, I want to give you a disclaimer. I'm not the pastor. And my views are not necessarily expressed as the views of Pastor Tom. Now, get that straight. Pastor Tom is the pastor, and he has his own views. And I'm not saying we have different views. I just want to put that disclaimer out. What is the reaction of the church? Conservative, evangelical, so-called rally around the gun lobbies. Racial hatred, whether it be of African Americans, Hispanic Americans, or I don't want to say some people. But racial hatred is at an all-time high. Actually, it's becoming popular. Amen. If you want to run a conservative president, primary, bring out your racist guns and you will probably win. Evil and anger is the word of today. What should our response be to this? I want you to turn with me to Romans, the 13th chapter. And I want to give another disclaimer. I have always been controversial. Amen. And I don't have a lot of friends. Somebody said, "We your friends?" Oh, thank you. It's good to know. Amen. And I'm going to read from Romans the 13th chapter, the 11th verse. "And that knowing the time, that now," somebody say now, "it is high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." So what should our response be? First of all, we should understand that time to wind this thing up is very near. In fact, if you read the Bible, you will find that it says in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. So when we see these days, we should understand that it's time for us to cast off the works of darkness and to totally enshrine ourselves in the armor of light. So today I'm not going to really talk about that. What I'm going to really talk about is growing through suffering. I have spent many, many years in the ministry. In fact, I believe somewhere around 47 years. And one thing that I have noticed is that sometimes believers think when they get saved that all the troubles are gone. And I have seen some people make a decision to leave a church because they are having problems. And so their analogy is that if we are having problems, this church must not be of God. But no growth can occur without suffering. All of you grew up, and your growth was not without some trials. And we're talking about suffering, we're not talking about sickness, we're talking about trials and tribulation and facing things that would knock you out of the box. We all have gone through that. I am amazed that I have made it. And I know you're amazed that you made it. Amen. So let's go, if we would. I don't know how far we're going to get on this. Now, we're not here to go out. I don't believe it's our job to go out and demonstrate against the gun carriers or demonstrate for the gun carriers. Our job is not to go out and demonstrate against homosexuality or for homosexuality. Our job is to grow to the point that we can change people's heart and bring them into a new kingdom, a new resident, a new place. That's our job. But before you can do your job, you got to go through something. How do you know you won't fall? Unless you've gotten to the point where you could fall. Does that make sense to you? You can boast all you want to about how strong you are and about how you can overcome anything until something come at you. And then when it come at you, how you react at that time is where you are. They say there are no atheists in foxholes. I spent 11 and a half years in the military. I'm telling you, when danger comes, everybody believes in God. Amen. Amen. When you're on a plane and look like it's going to go down, everybody believes in God. You don't have nobody saying, oh, there ain't no God. There ain't no heaven. Everybody is praying. Look, I've been in some dangerous situation in the military. I know how people react. Amen. But suffering makes you strong. And so let's go, if we would, to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I'm just going to go as long as I can. Other words, in my time constraint. I know some of you got things that you need to do. The football game is on today. There's some chicken in the crock pot. And some green slowly simmering. And Lord knows I could kind of taste it myself. But I want to, let's take some time for the word.
Amen.
To find out how to be sustained in the evil day.
Amen.
And so in order to do that, we got to learn something about what we're dealing with. Is that correct? For what man, 2 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?
Amen.
Even so, the things of Yahweh, when you see God, I'm going to say Yahweh because I know his name, knoweth no man, but the spirit of Yahweh. So what is it saying here? There's a piece of information here that we need. You know, a lot of times we just read the scripture and we don't even know what it said. For what man knoweth the spirit of man? First of all, what is probably not in the original text? It's probably for man knoweth man. The things of man. But this is in the neuter gender when we start talking about the spirit. And in the Greek, if you know the neuter gender is talking about male and female. When it comes to our spirit, the spirit of life, not our minds, there is no male or female. So the only thing that knows the things of a man, what motivates a man, and because it's in the neuter gender, what motivates a woman. Why do they act like they act? Why do we do the things that we do? The only one that knows that is the spirit of the man or the woman. Even the person in their brain, in their soul, do not necessarily know why they act like they act. Have you asked someone, why did you do that? And you know what they'll say? Oh, no. Because even in their mind, so what we are finding out, man is not just mind. Women are not just mind. They have a spirit also. And only their spirit knows what's motivating them to do what they do. And this is not a piece of important information that he's just trying to give you, but he's making a point about some other information that is critical.
Amen.
So what man, somebody say woman, because it is neuter, knoweth the spirit of man, somebody say woman, save the spirit, and this word should be accept, the spirit of man, somebody say woman, which is in him or them. That piece of information is a good piece of information to know. I am body, I am soul or mind, and I am spirit. My spirit, which is the spirit of life, was given to us by Yahweh. When he breathed into Adam, which is man, the breath of life. And because of this life, man became a living soul, a mind. I know I'm confusing someone. Before that time, man was, even in the garden, man was not a mind man. He was a spirit man who saw God as a spirit and worshiped him as spirit and did not do his own thing, but listen to hear what the great spirit said, and he did what the great spirit said, and that was it. But when Eve fell in disobedience, her mind began to work. She always had a mind, but her mind only was open to the spiritual, was not open to the natural. So her mind began to work. And as they lived, their mind took them over. And the spirit receded, but the spirit still knows why you do what you do when you don't even know why you do what you do. Even so, the things of Yahweh knoweth no man, but the spirit of Yahweh. No man knoweth God on his own. No man can conceive of the spirit of God on his own. No man will find, can speak spiritual things outside of the spirit of God. So there are some entities working in this world. And we will introduce another one right now. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. So here's another spirit. There's a spirit. There's the spirit of man. Then there's the spirit of God, Yahweh. And then there's the spirit of the world. And that spirit of the world is the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. It's the spirit of Satan. We have not received the spirit of the world. Now, this word receive is dehoma in the Greek. And it doesn't mean that it just came in automatically. See, we have not received the spirit of the world, but we've received the spirit of God, of Yahweh. Dehoma don't mean that something just came into you on its own accord. But dehoma means that you accepted something on your own. And eho means that you grasped it and you pulled it to yourself to have and to hold. You want to study with me a little bit there?
Yes. Come on now.
The spirit of Satan comes in without you accepting it. You're sitting in your seat today. The spirit of Satan will move on you and tell you something. And you didn't have to receive it. But the spirit of God will never just come on his own in you. You have to receive it. You have to accept it. You have to be open to it. Huh? Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Yahweh. Now there's a reason for that. That we might know the things, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of Yahweh. Powerful statement. You can sit around here in your mind all you want to, but you'll never know things about Yahweh. You will never know what Yahweh has given. You will never know what your benefits are. So the Spirit is given that we might know the things that Yahweh has given unto us without cost. You don't have to do anything for it. It's yours. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, if I get it from God, it belongs to me. It belongs to me. That is why so many so-called churches trying to operate without the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Yahweh, become stagnant. Sometimes become lost, give up, have no power because they don't have the spirit of Yahweh. What are you talking about, Apostle? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and on one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as the fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the spirit I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a spirit that you didn't know you got when you got saved. Somebody say, I gotta go ask my pastor that I get the spirit when I got saved. And they go to ask their pastor, and he said, oh yes, honey, you got that spirit as soon as you believe. No, that's not the spirit I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spirit that you must receive, that you must accept, that you must grab out and pull it to you and cherish it. And only then can you know the things of Yahweh. Only then. Some people fall because they don't know what they got. When you don't know what you got, you give up. Because you don't know you got something that's bigger than what's coming at you. And even if you got the Holy Ghost, it don't mean you're going to automatically know all these things. You get to know a little bit, but you got to grow into the rest. You got to grow into the rest. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you have to grow. You just have to grow. You got to grow up. God can't use a baby all the time. Now, he can use a baby a little bit, you know. Your baby say, God, 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 dad, dad, dad. But, you know, that time that baby got to grow up. Amen. You got to feed that baby some milk. Baby got to grow up. So you still got to. You got to grow. You got to grow into this thing. Ephesians 4. And when my time's up, somebody ring the bell. Somebody said, well, you're an apostle. Yeah, but I don't want to be here by myself. All y'all are sneaked out. You know, like tipping out, you see what I mean? So before you tip out, I want to finish. And we're going to read from the 4th chapter, the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles. So you wonder why? You know, I see people going around and everybody, they give themselves a gift. One guy, he ain't got no church. But he called himself an apostle. He come into the church, you say, who are you? I'm Apostle Smith. What church do you have? I ain't got none. I just go around correcting other churches. I wouldn't let them call me an apostle until we had founded all these churches. And then I could, and brought forth a name that was lost. Amen. Then I am an apostle. But until that time, I was not an apostle. First apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. And I don't use this, and some teachers. I don't believe there's a fivefold ministry. I believe there's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Pastor must be a teacher. I can sit here and holler all I want to and hold my ear and go, yeah! But that's what we call a pastor. But that's a hollower. It's not a pastor. You know, to get your emotions going and you, oh boy, we had a good time today. They say, well, what was that message? But I don't know what the message was, but I know we had a good time. So I believe there's a fourfold ministry, not a five. And here's why we are here. For the perfecting of the saints. To mature the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Mashiach, till we all come into the unity of the faith, not a faith, but the faith that is in Mashiach, Yeshua. The faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Mashiach. That we henceforth be no more children. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, amen. You can't be a child always. You can't be a child always. So the idea is that we would grow through the stages of childhood into adults. That we be no more children tossed to and fro. Y'all know what I mean? Look, when I was young, I was a child, man. I was tossed to and fro. I had this idea. I had a better idea than my parents. And then I had a better idea than another person. Then I grabbed this idea, this person. Then I went on and got this idea. I was tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Some folk came and said, well, you know, you don't need to be baptized. Oh, you don't need, I'm here, I go, you don't need to be baptized. Some say, well, you don't need to live right, because once you're saved, you always say. Well, my thing is, why get saved and not be saved? But always be saved. And I don't understand that. If you are saved, you are saved. Saved from what? If you are saved, you have to be saved from something. Saved from sin. Then how can I go back to sin and still be saved if I just got saved from sin? Look, maybe I'm a little off. Maybe y'all can explain this to me better. But I don't understand how Yeshua came and died, and I received his death and his blood that I might be saved from sin. And then I go back to sin, but I'm still saved. That don't sound quite right to me. By the slight carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's some folks out here, friend, their whole job is to deceive. How many of you, before you got saved, was a deceiver? Yes, sir. Oh, I lied a minute. And no woman was safe from a lie from me. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, yeah. Do you love me? Yes, sir, I love you. Oh, my. I'm trying to deceive her. Yeah, I love you. Baby, I don't know what I'd do without you. Every time I look at you, my heart almost stops. I need to go to the doctor every time I see you. Your eyes. I ain't never seen nobody with eyes like your eyes. Oh, God. Oh, you're so beautiful. I never thought I'd meet anybody like you. please have a little mercy on me. I know I'm not up to speed, you know what I mean. But you know, can you give a person out of speed a little?
Come on.
A little mercy. You know, you pretend like you're the victim. And you don't mean nothing. You know, your life don't account to nothing. Only life that counts is her. I'll do anything for you. Lying in wait to deceive. And if some of you men sitting in here pretending like you don't know what I'm talking about, I never did that. Oh, yes, you did. Now, maybe you didn't. Maybe you were so square. And you were such a nerd. Maybe. Not a good guy. Because I was a good guy. You know, I helped people. But I was lying in wait to deceive people. You know, you see young people today, and they think, people like myself, you know, I'm 80 years old, I don't know what's going on. You don't know what's up. People, I was up before you were. Before you ever was born, I knew what was up. Are we having fun with the truth? It's a nice thing to have a little levity, you know, you can smile at what's going on because you know how true it is. But speaking, the 15th verse, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Somebody look at each other and say, we got to grow. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Mashiach. And as you grow, this spirit that we receive, which is the spirit of Yahweh, will begin to talk to you more. Will begin to guide you more. Huh? Because now you are able, as you grow, you're able to receive. Romans 8:16. How much more time do I have? Now don't tell me, don't deceive me and say I can go on. And then you're gonna tip out on me. Come on. Let's get real. Amen. Romans 8:16. The spirit itself, strike, is not itself, it's himself. The spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh. As we move along, see, when you come to a situation where Satan is saying to you that you ought to lay down that you have, that is too hard, the Spirit is there to let you know that you are a son or daughter of Yahweh. And if you are a son and a daughter of Yahweh, you have all those things that your father has freely given you. Now you can't handle it as a baby. You tell a baby, not even a baby, you tell a five-year-old child, now you got everything your father had. He don't know what you talking. Do it. No, do she. Only thing they know, if they get in trouble, father or mama come. Okay, they know that. They can't. But But beyond that, they don't know what other stuff. Right? That's why they have to grow up. You know, kids think they know something, you know. My grandchildren think they know something. They really do. They think they know something. Grandpa, that ain't a something. And oh my, when my teenagers came, they were the smartest of all. They knew everything from A to Z. And I knew in their mind very little about life. I knew how to preach. They knew that. But about life and about how relationships should go and that type of thing, I didn't know too much. They knew. But as they grew, they began to realize that they didn't know what they thought they knew. Am I right or wrong? Look, I'm not saying something that I don't know. I did the same thing when I was a young person. When I was a young person, I knew everything. I knew everything. There was not one thing that I did not know. Amen. Just ask me. I knew everything. You know, I didn't have a daddy, so I couldn't say daddy don't know. But I had a daddy, but he was long gone. You know, when I was a little boy, daddy was gone. You know how we act? You know, some of you have probably got some kids somewhere that you were long gone. Amen. My mom was there, of course, and I knew more than my mom, but I loved her. So sometime I let her think she knew something. Something one time I did something, and my mother was extremely angry with me. And she slapped me. She slapped me so hard I saw fire. You ever been slapped to see fire? I'm not kidding you, I saw fire. I saw sparks. But you know, I'm a man now, I'm about 12. When she slapped me, I fell on the bed. I just got back up and I looked at her. She slapped me again. I fell on the bed. I got back up and I looked at her. She slapped me again. I fell on the bed again. I got back up. Wow. She looked at me and tears came to her eyes. She knew that I knew everything. And if, 17 verse, and if the children, look at my watch. Whoa. I'm going to keep you all here, I promise you. I won't be out no later than 1:30. Is that the time Pastor Tom let you all out? Oh, he let you all out at 1? Sometimes he goes a little longer. Okay, I'm going to do this sometime. And if children, then heirs of Yahweh, and joint heirs with Mashiach, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. Glory, doxa, supernatural splendor, Shekinah glory. That we shine like lights in the world. For I reckon that the suffering, remember the suffering of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now I want to know this 19th verse. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. I want to let you know, all creation is dependent on us. You hear what I said? Earnest is ectihos, meaning to stretch. So here's the idea. All of creation stretched out, looking at us, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh, who we are. Gazing in anticipation of when the sons of Yahweh come into power in the world. Everything is waiting for us. Earnest, stretch out neck, expectation, knowing that we will deliver it into the glory of Yahweh. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. The creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by us. We're the ones. And I say we, take that as an extension of humans. We're the ones that's digging into the earth, taking out the gold and the coal and fracking and just doing everything, all the violence that we can do to this earth. And think that this can be sustained. But when we come into power, things gonna change. Are you getting it? But you got to do what? You got to what? Grow. And the only way you can grow is to face things. If you have a problem with lust, you got to go to the pit with lust. I don't mean go down to the pit, but you got to meet lust on the edge of the pit. And I'm going to end with this. Because if you don't meet those things that could have power over you, if you can't stand and meet them, you will never have victory over them. Doesn't make sense? You don't get victory by saying, "I want victory." You don't get victory by saying, "I got victory over you, I got victory over you." No, you have to meet it. You have to meet it at the pit. What are you saying, Pastor? You got to meet it right at the pit. If it wins, you go down to the pit. Get it? Because you cannot not go to the pit if you can't conquer this thing. Tehillim, you call it Psalms, and I'm going to end it with this. You don't have to leave now, I'm almost finished. 116. And we're gonna read from 1 through 4. But what I'm going to do, because the Hebrew will take and place the ending before the beginning. And that's what they've done here. They take what the results is, and then later on they tell you what it was that they were facing. But I'm going to start at what they were facing. And I'm going to start at the third verse. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. This thing seemed to have encircled my life, and it grabbed hold upon me. This could be lust, could be lying, could be drugs, could be, but here's a, he's standing at the pit, and this thing have encircled him and grabbed him. Y'all know what I'm talking about, do you? I've been to the pit many times. Something encircled me and grabbed me. And if God don't help me, I'm going down. Your life has been encircled by something. Something has grabbed hold of you and will grab hold of you. If you don't know the things that is freely given to you of Yahweh. Now watch this. And the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble. In other words, I was in trouble. What did his neighbor say, neighbor? He was in trouble. He was in trouble. If he can't escape, he's going down to the pit. He says, found trouble and sorrow. See, when he talks about suffering sometimes, many times, is mental. He's not talking about sickness. Some of you have actually yielded to the suffering of lust. Lust can suck the life out of you sometimes. Your head pops. You say, how do you know that? I've been there. Been there. Well, your head get tight. Your brain seem not to be functioning properly. And your whole body aches. This thing has got a hold of you. He says, I found trouble and sorrow. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to do God's will. But this thing has got a hold on me. This man is suffering. This man wants to do God's will. This man wants to be saved. This man actually loves God. But this thing has encircled him and grabbed him. Then call I upon the name of Yahweh. And I said, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Hey, but right in the nick of time, the Holy Ghost reminded him that there was deliverance for his soul. Now let's go back to the first verse. I love Yahweh. You understand? He's been to the pit. And God has delivered his soul. Now he has grown a little bit. You know what he says? I love Yahweh. Now why? Listen to this. I love Yahweh because he has heard my voice and my supplication. He learned something. He learned that God is ready to move on his behalf if he only asked him. Now he knows. He's grown now. He grew up a little bit. He says, now he says, I love Yahweh. See, before he said, oh, my soul is at the pit of hell. And the enemy has encircled me and grabbed me. But he called. Somebody said he called. He called on the name of Yahweh. And then back to the first verse, because see, the Hebrews just flipped those verses. That's the way he want to look at it. Then he says, I love Yahweh. I love Yahweh because he has heard my voice and my supplication, because he has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call on him as long as I live. Come on. Therefore will I call on him. Hey, if I had called before that stuff encircled me, if I had called before it grabbed hold of me, but now I've grown a little bit. So now I'll call on him as long as I live, because I know in him there's deliverance for my soul. He heard my voice and he delivered my soul. I've been there and he delivered me. And I've been saved 47 years and have not backslid one time. Not because I'm strong. Not because I got all of this determination, but because I learned that the word of Yahweh will help me grow. And I grew. And Satan would reach out and try to grab me sometime. But Yahweh delivered my soul. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. I love Yahweh. Because you heard my cry. Bow your heads. You may be here today. You are not privy to what I'm talking about. You're not saved. You really don't even know exactly what I'm talking about. You know the words, but you don't know it deep within your soul. You're not saved. But you want to be saved. You want to have Yahweh on your side. And if you're here today, I want to pray for you. And all you have to do is raise your hand. And if you raise your hands, I will pray for you. Somebody prayed for me 47 years ago. Here I am today. Somebody says, too hard. I don't want to jump into this and then can't make it through. You can't make it through thinking like that. You got to just move, understanding that God will make a way for you. If you're here, raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. I've got one here. Anyone else? Raise your hands. I'm going to pray. This is powerful, my brothers and sisters. Everybody got your head bowed? Got your head bowed? Those who raise your hand, I want you to come here and let me pray with you personally. I want to do this personally for you, because I know how important it is for you. My brother here. I'm right here, brother, right in front of me. What is your name, brother? Andre. Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. This young man, Andre, I've heard your voice, and he has answered. Your word said if any man would come to you, you would in no wise cast them out. I know that this young man, you have been working with for a long time. You have been dealing with his heart for a long time. Finally, he's come. Bless him. Build a hedge around him. Protect him until you strengthen his soul, his spirit. And we'll always thank you. We'll always rejoice for one who comes to the kingdom. We give you glory in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Andre, do I have somebody? Andre, would you, this man, this young man right here, would you go with him? He would like to talk with you. Everybody lift your head. Look this way. How many of you love the Lord? Give him a big hand. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Somebody say, he is worthy.